The dark brown shades of my skin only add color to my tears. Oh, oh, that splash against my hollow bones, that rocks my soul. Oh, oh, oh,
oh. On the real.
Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black?
That's the music of Syl Johnson, made in the early 1970s. Is it because I'm black? I'm Chuck D. Welcome to another On the Real, Power to the People, because the power definitely is not with the people all the way across the board. You've heard pretty much everything from here and across the board, especially on this network. Tonight, Gia Garrell is with family, and have a good time with family, because that's what it's all about. It's about family, and it's about community, and it's not about a government being highly hypocritical, saying that everybody is equal in this society when evidently they're not. One could just easily just look at the newspapers, catch the images. People have been asking me, what do I think? Okay. I wrote this poem in a very animated conversation with my father, who's definitely just ticked off, because he just was saying that, you know, all the help goes around the world from this country and within this country. You know, you have people who will be called refugees, and perhaps the faces of the people are called refugees because they're seeking refuge from a country that claims that black people are citizens here. Obviously, you know, there's some situations. I had to write this poem, and I wrote it in 45 minutes right after I talked to my dad. Now, all these press conferences, breaking news alerts, this just in, while your government looks for a war to win. Flames from the blame game. Names, where do I begin? Walls closing in. Get some help to my kin. Who cares? While the rest of the Bush nation stares as the drama unfolds, as we, the people under the stairs. 50% of this son of a Bush nation is like hating on Haiti and setting up assassinations. Ask Pat Robertson. Quiz him. Smells like terrorism. Racism in the news, still one-sided views, saying whites find food, pray for the National Guard ready to shoot, because them blacks, they loot. Fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, I don't mean to scare. Wasn't this written somewhere? Disgraces, all I see is black faces moved out to all these places, emergency state, corpses, alligators, and snakes. Big difference between this haze and them diamonds on them VMAs. We better look what's really important under this sun, especially if you're over 21. This ain't no TV show. It ain't no video. This is real, real. Really real. Beyond them same old keep it real quotes from them TV stars driving big rim cars. Streets be flooding, B. No matter where you at, no gas, driving is now a luxury. Urgency, a state of emergency, shows somebody's government is far from reality. I see here, we be the new faces of refugees. We ain't even overseas, but here on our knees. Forget the plasma TV, ain't no electricity. New world upside down and out of order. Shelter, food, what's up? Where's the water? No answers from disaster, them masses hurting. So who the F we call? Halliburton? Son of a Bush, how are you gonna trust that cat to fix things when help is stuck in Iraq? Making war plans, taking more stands in Afghanistan. 2,000 soldiers dying in the sand. But that's over there, right? Now what's over here is a noise so loud some can't hear. But on TV I can see bunches of people looking just like me. Welcome to On the Real. I'm Chuck D. Condoleezza Rice, Kill Bill, Matt I for an I, was up there saying that, well, she felt it wasn't a racial issue. Here I'm looking at the same television and reading the same magazines and looking at the same paper that she's looking at. And I obviously she's up there talking about how she's going to protect her man. I'm like, okay. Rosa Clemente just stepped in the house on full blast. And last night I was in Detroit. And the mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, a great brother, you know, has just opened up housing, 900 miles away in Detroit for those that need homes. New Orleans, so close to my heart. I know people who I know that I've been visiting over the last 20 years. I played them all. I played the Dome, Municipal Auditorium, the State Theater, Sanger, University of New Orleans, Tulane, you name it. I have to talk to good friends who are now homeless in Houston and Huntsville, Alabama, and Atlanta, whatever, because you got people from a government that basically saying, you know what? Cover it up with dirt. It's useless trying to put it back together. It was an accident ready to happen. Well, hell, I knew that by visiting New Orleans. The problem was, it's like, you know, if you could build a half a football field full of concrete to keep Hoover Dam from leaking, you couldn't do the same thing with New Orleans, which is a bowl. Yes, we all understand now. Now this is a national issue. Now everybody knows about New Orleans. But how the hell are you going to have a city exist 200 years later with the same levee system that you had in the 1700s? Chuck D on the rear. We're joined by Rosa Clemente. And we're going to have Charles Sheffield right next as we go right in. A good show. We're going to talk to people on the phone and people coming in. On the Real, Chuck D, Air America Radio Networks.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy.
Yeah, that says a lot. The great Aaron Neville, New Orleans native, ran into the great Aaron Neville in the airport, LaGuardia, having to save his whole family, going down and move them to Memphis and Houston. And this was just a couple of days ago. This is Chuck D on the Real, joined by Rosa Clemente. And we're joined today, tonight, by Mr. Charles Sheffield, the chairman of the board of the 21st Century Foundation, a founding partner of the Carthage Capital Group, a New York City-based private equity firm. Carthage Capital Group manages institutionally backed investment funds that invest in strategic suppliers and investors of large corporations in the areas of technology, telecom, automotive, and food services. Mr. Sheffield is a chairman of the board of directors for the 21st Century Foundation and treasurer of the board of directors for Brooklyn Excelsior Charter School. And how are you doing, bro? Tell us about your organization, and tell us about your organization, how it fits into this crisis right about now.
Chuck, I appreciate your introduction and bringing me on the show. 21st Century Foundation is really significant in the picture that we're looking at. You know, basically, this organization was started 35 years ago, over 35 years ago, by Bob Brown, a development economist. And he felt that it was a need to have a permanent resource for Black America, an organization, again, a foundation that makes grants to organizations that are on the ground, that are involved in advocacy for Black folks, that are involved in developing youth and delivering services. So it's a whole different concept of activity that 21st Century is focused on versus charity. Right. We're a philanthropic organization, so we're looking for strategic solutions.
All right, what kind of misinformation you're hearing about Katrina, and also the misdirecting of funds going all over the place, the lack of focus also, as you've been alluding to, Rosa Clemente, and your press conferences out there in the world. But, you know, what about this misinformation? How come we don't know where to put what and what's going on?
You know, I'm getting the same misinformation everybody's getting. I don't have any special insight on the failure of these institutions to do the basic things that they're set up to do. What I can say is I'm very troubled by the fact that so many people who want to make a difference, that have great intentions, have really no clear understanding of the infrastructure of giving. They don't understand whether if they give today, they think, and I think falsely, they believe that they're gonna, their dollar is going to translate into some kind of change of the condition of the people in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Walmart is in Bennington, Arkansas, which is not that far from Memphis.
Right.
That's their headquarters.
Right.
They have distribution centers all around that area. You know, it's not a matter, in my opinion, of food and water and those basic things. It's a matter of will and logistics. There's a lot of other issues associated with this. And so what all I really want to say is that we're focusing on the rebuilding issues,
right,
the reconstruction of the people's lives. And if you think in your heart that the organizations you're giving your money to have black people's interests in their mind, that they're focused on black folks, then you should give to them, because those are the people that would be affected. You know,
that's all the people I seen as far as the television was concerned of what they were showing. Yeah, I tell you one thing that flipped me out when they were showing, like, the New Orleans, CNN was showing it one morning, the New Orleans, how it used to be. I remember how it was, and it just showed like a tour footage, you know, and you know, and it wasn't even equally benevolent. It was like, you know, mostly white folk on tour footage, like the French Quarter, events and out on the water and all that. And then they returned to the news, and it was just 98%.
Right.
Black folk.
Where they come
from. And people in this country was like, well, I didn't know that New Orleans was a black city.
They had all this. Chuck, let me just point out, in your poetry, as usual, was astounding. And one of the things I want to say is that refugees, this is a curse word.
Yeah, they're not refugees. All right? Refugees.
You know, the definition of a refugee is a person who flees a foreign country or power to escape danger. Maybe that's what's really happening.
Yeah, well, maybe
we really are refugees. Maybe no matter if we're born here, obviously black and people brown like me are refugees to America and the government. And I also think, Charles, because I know your organization, we've never met, has been doing amazing, amazing work. But I think, Chuck, what the problem is that the mainstream media and even the liberal left media is not telling about foundations like the Spark Plug Foundation, where if you go to it, there's over 30 organizations of people of color. And I think the problem then goes to the whole issue that I really believe that white people in America do not believe that black people could solve their own problems. Right. So let's give money to the Red Cross. The Red Cross has already admitted on its website that it takes almost 40% for administrative costs.
Wow.
FEMA, on its website, their number two organization to give to is Operation Blessing, founded by none other than Pat Robertson, who 2 weeks ago said, let's go assassinate Hugo Chavez, who Hugo Chavez, along with Fidel, have pledged over $3 million to black people in America in aid, monetary aid, oil,
right,
for their generators, and to send over 500 troops and relief workers. And Condoleezza Rice has said no. So what we really have is not only overt white supremacy, but a liberal left policy that is not allowing black and brown people to run their own lives, even in the midst of tragedy, even right now at this moment, while black and poor people are still in New Orleans, and everybody's talking about recovery, rebuilding. What about rescuing the people that are still there and letting black people finally save themselves? Everyone in America wants to talk about black people taking responsibility. When we finally do, we're then not allowed by the right wing and even by some of the left.
Well, Charles, you said that, you know, if you stated that there's plenty of food and water, right? But the government, you know, cannot get it to the people. Still the case or what?
Yeah, see, that's a matter of news. I think that they actually have mobilized to do some of what they're supposed to have already done a week ago. I'm an engineer by training.
Right.
And I have a lot of, you know, take a lot of classes in logistics. It doesn't seem
right
like it's that difficult to get this done. I give it an F, just like a lot of people give them an F.
Does our grading count?
Here's something.
I heard, you know, and tell me if I'm wrong. FEMA, and just talking to a person in Alabama, I've done a lot of conversations, right? All but going down there, because I've been catching people coming up, and they're saying that the FEMA checks, right, they can't cash them in at Walmart because FEMA is only going to take the Red Cross checks, you know, and Walmart's only going to take the Red Cross FEMA checks and not the ones from the Salvation Army even. So you know all the other organizations underneath that are out.
Let's talk about that. This is the whole point that I'm trying to make. Our visibility, 21st century, you know us, and I'm looking at the list we've given to some of these groups that are down there. Black people have small infrastructures around the country of dynamic groups. But the fact is that even black people haven't funded them to the point that they could be as impactful as they need to be. Today is that wake-up call. A lot of people, they know that they are not giving the folks that are going to help them in the long term. Now is your chance to do that. 21cf.org is one of the organizations.
Write it down, y'all.
21cf.org. You know?
We're going to follow up. You know what? We got a minute. Okay. Go ahead. Follow through.
All I have to say is that we've been in this thing for 30 years. Bob Brown is a legend. And you talk about the expense ratios. We have audited financial statements. We're part of, you know, the Better Business Bureau has certified us. A lot of the organizations that are on the front line of this and getting the most pub are not and cannot. Their scandals and their problems are replete. Everyone knows this. But we don't support our own. We have it. We need to.
All right.
Can I just disagree we're going to be back into
another segment. We're going to continue this on Chuck D on the Rio, Rosa Clemente, Charles Sheffield, chairman of the board of the 21st Century Foundation. Write it down. Get your pens and pads or whatever. Write down this information. Matter of fact, tape it. Put it on digital tape or something. We're going to be back right after this short talk and going to be right back with y'all. Didn't know New Orleans was a black city up to now, please. My goodness. Here we are, Chuck D on the Rio. Gia Gorels with family. Very important down south. Get back safe and hug and squeeze your family, Gia. Because pretty much what God giveth, country taketh away at this point each and every week. It's 1,886 military soldiers dead in Iraq and the cross in the sand. Meanwhile, everything else is deployed everywhere else, and they can't even take care of their own right here on the home turf. Now, what in the hell? Because hell is what it is. I'm joined by Rosa Clemente and Mr. Charles Sheffield, chairman of the board of the 21st Century Foundation. Now, before we went on to the break, we had it going full steam. I'm going to ask a question. Can a plan be developed for the long-term solution for black people today, you know, where we can return to our homes? Because really, straight up and down, man, you know, the next 100 days, yes, there's a rescue effort, but the next 100 days, can you actually picture yourself just sitting in the Astrodome? I know people that went to Houston that want to even help out in organizations, and they can't get close to the dome. People, is there a plan?
course, there's no plan right now. Mm. people didn't plan for the recovery. I mean, the rescue.
Maybe it's hard.
Plan for the recovery.
There's not a plan, definitely, in the government, because you always got to watch out for that. But whenever somebody makes a plan for you and you're in a plantation state and you don't have control of your education, you ain't got control of your education, your economics, or enforcement, and you're on a plantation state.
Well, let me tell you, I'm a black man, as you could probably tell. And I'm the chairman of a black organization. And we have a plan.
Right.
The plan is very, very straightforward, and it's not simple. But it requires a lot of skills, and especially right now, it requires the right skill mix. We have to be in a position to evaluate the best organizations that are on the front lines that can advocate for the people.
Well, when it comes down to media, though, if many of us are thrust in front of televisions or videos or cable television outlets, and organizations such as yourself and people such as yourself, Rosa, are basically, don't get the radar attention, and then all of a sudden on CNN, they just talk about a gigantic donation to an organization that nobody really knows about. You know, I mean, this is how do we get situations where the right people are right in front of the people and on the radar scope? How do we make radio stations responsible? You know, instead of, if they're going to play this recording artist there and then go into the everyday Dilly News or whatever, whoever Dilly's doing or whatever. And then at the same time, people are just missing the organizations that they should at least know in their back pocket.
But Chuck, this has always happened. In 9/11, it happened like this.
Right.
Right here in this city, black organizations were defunded as a result of 9/11.
Mm.
And all that money was raised and all those things were done. And our hearts went out. But black folks suffered because our organizations were defunded. We have a report, again, 21cf.org is our website. We've got the 9/11 report on that. You see, what happens is people haven't, before our tragedy happens, integrated themselves into the philanthropic fabric of their community. They haven't they don't know what is really out there.
Is there a distrust factor?
Well, it's bigger than that. They're not involved, man. Right. They're not involved. And so when they get involved because someone calls them up and says, do a concert for children that are starving. Do a concert for this one and that one. Hey, listen, you need to do something significant, and why don't you give to the established organization? They haven't beforehand integrated themselves into our black communities.
Right.
And it's everybody. I'm guilty. We're all guilty. It's the athletes, it's the entertainers. Everyone's put things on them. It's the CEOs.
So you're saying there's no middle infrastructure that ties the community into these people, athletes,
absolutely
entertainers,
not.
Or the culture that just happens to be hacked into.
We're the closest to it, and we're still small. But after this, we're not going to be as small. First off, Chuck, thank you for bringing us on, because that's important. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to have a lot more visibility. We have the credibility, and we have the skills. I was saying to you, these skills are evaluating the best organizations out there, knowing what you need to be investing in, and then making those investments in other organizations, and then monitoring them. Now, we have tremendous organizations like NAACP and Urban League, and they're going to do some of that.
Right.
But that's not what they do.
Right.
They're not grant-making organizations. They take money in, and they perform projects.
What keeps them from shining light on other organizations? And for example, every organization says, hey, we can do it all, pretty much. It's that attitude. What keeps these organizations from interlocking with other organizations and really, really doing a community network type of thing?
I think that's happening, but, every organization is in a fight for resources no matter what.
Okay.
I mean, we actually give money to the Urban League.
Right.
They don't need our money.
Right.
But it's important for us to have that relationship. And we respect and admire the leaders of those organizations. And they're going to do something significant down there. Don't mistake that. But they don't even get as much publicity as these other organizations that don't have black folks' interests at heart.
Mm.
All I can say is this. We are focused on really investing in the organizations that are down there that can deliver the most good long term.
Right. So do you feel that Do you always feel that we have to get into a back against the wall situation in order to wake people up? How do we change this? How do we flip this around and really make older people in our community, meaning 21 and up, at least 28 and up, understand that you've grown? Put the PlayStation down for a second, because somebody's playing PlayStation with your life.
You have to have dark nights to see the light. You got to, it has to happen this way. This is, this is the wake up call. People from all over our community are waking up. I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot of response. The anger is deep and people see it for what it is. You can't gloss over this.
Right.
I think too, Chuck, you know, in being out the last week since this had happened, who I really feel has stepped up to the plate is the hip hop generation, is the 18 to 35 year old cohort. And I don't mean Diddy and all of them. I mean like a Kevin Powell.
Right.
Like,
and Kevin Powell has his event.
He has an event,
this Thursday
at the Canal Room.
We'll read more about that.
Today, the Reach Hip Hop Coalition, formerly known as the Coalition Against Hot 97, had a rally and vigil at Union Square. Over 1,000 people showed up in 2 hours' notice, mostly young people. I think this is the wake-up call for our generation.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the previous generation, the wake-up call was the incidences of police brutality.
Right.
And that was kind of a wake-up call for some of us after Diallo. But I think the images of literally seeing black people dying a slow death,
right,
or getting to that slow death that they were kind of heading towards already, has really showed the hip hop generation and the bling blingers within that hip hop,
right,
generation, like, all right, Juvenile, you were bling blinging. Now, Juvenile, you ain't got nothing.
None of that
Master
matters.
P ain't got nothing. Chopper from the band ain't got nothing. Lost 4 houses. And I think what would be helpful at this point would be if the philanthropic organizations, the black and Latino led ones, begin to nurture the culture of giving again, because the only people that seem to have that nurture giving are those that go to church. And I think growing up, I had to give 10% of my money.
Right.
My mom would make me. And I think that it's incumbent on the elder generation to now teach the younger kids there has to be something that each week you put aside for African American 21st Century Foundation, for the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, for December 12th, or, you know, all these organizations, at least based in here in New York. I think we have to teach our children the ethics again of giving.
Right.
Can I comment on that, Chuck?
Yes, and also follow it up and end it up with some reliable emails and websites so people could lock it in. Get your pens and pads ready, y'all.
I want to acknowledge Kevin Powell's effort, because you are correct. He's been working very hard to bring organization to this. But black people give. They give about $7 billion or $8 billion.
Right.
But what they do is about $4 billion of it goes to church.
Right, right.
And some of that is not so accountable. We have to think about making everybody accountable to our giving. Number two, when we're thinking about our giving today, look at what we really need. Right now, we need to be focusing on some class action lawsuits.
Right.
We need to be focused on some immediate compensation. I'm talking about dollars for the victim.
Compensation for incompetence.
For incompetence. I'm talking about loans and grants. People need to get their businesses back up. You have a shrimp boat, it's gone. You might not have insurance for lots of reasons. You got to go through all this drama to get, you know, compensation. Re-identification. I mean, you know, just who are you?
Right.
And then there's a whole question about the rights of the people that are there to be involved in reconstruction. Halliburton has got the contract. A lot of people are going to get this contract, but they're not even going to hire the people that are displaced.
Right.
Unless we make them. We can't make them unless we make them.
Reliable website, bro.
The one I want to keep using is www.21cf.org, because, again, we established a fund so that we can fund folks that are doing the right thing.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Sheffield. Okay. This is On The Real, Chuck D, Rosa Clemente, and we will be back. We got Dave Zirin. We got Supernova Slum. We got Zoo Man. We also got Wendell Pierce, a New Orleans jazz musician, calling straight from, he just got back from NO. And we also got the Stella, Jawanza Kanjufu, right here on The Real, Air America Radio.
country boy who never had a home. Haven't helped a girl who walks the streets alone.
That's right. If you notice the music today on the Real, it's music either from New Orleans or New Orleans inspired. It's the great Ray Charles. Notice I never say late. Ray's always with us, and Gladys Knight is also on that record as well. Heaven help us all, but let us help us all too. All right? Let us at least do our thing. Anyway, Chuck D, joined by Rosa Clemente on the Real. Gia Guerrero is with family down south, and we have a call, so we're going to cut to the chase. We're going to talk to this caller who says he's just escaped New Orleans, so I'm interested to hear what this person got to say. And then we're going to talk to jazz musician Wendell Pierce on what he had just done to kind of get his family up and out. Who's this?
My name is Bob Green. I'm a maintenance tech over at Ossian Hospital, and I stood over there trying to maintain and help maintain the life safety systems over at Ossian Hospital up until Thursday when my wife, who was with me at the hospital, we had to go rescue my daughter in Shreveport.
Mm.
So the hotels, they went from $69 to $179.
Well, and within the city limits? Or within the states?
It was Hollywood Hotel, Hollywood Casino Hotel.
Oh, so where was that? Near the city, or was it up in Louisiana?
That was in Shreveport.
Oh, Shreveport, up at the top.
Yeah, so we had to go up there because we couldn't wire money, so I had to leave the hospital because that hospital was the only one left able to take in people. And because we were down to the last emergency generators, those people in there really worked at hospital, and I hated to, I felt like I had abandoned them, but I had six grandkids and a daughter stranded, so me and the wife, we happened to go to our house. We live on the West Bank.
Right.
And the West Bank was completely dry. I didn't have a shingle off my roof. I had water damage on my floor because water came through the chimney and damage on the screen porch. I didn't have a branch on the car. The whole West, the people didn't have to evacuate. The whole West Bank was dry. And you have a Navy base on the West Bank. You had Delgado College next to the Navy base, and they shared fences with a high school, Oak Prairie Walker, and across the street they had another school. And this is the Navy base that the city of New Orleans had to say they're going to spend all these millions of dollars and give it to Bush so they don't close it. They could have used that Navy base. The West Bank was dry.
And they cleared the Navy base out because they deployed somewhere else, right?
Well, the Navy base was empty.
Mm.
They got dormitories on this Navy base.
Where you at now?
I live in Tarrytown, Gretna. Right now, I'm in Poly Point, Texas.
Mm.
People are wonderful here. The black church is down here fantastic. They gave my daughter a house to live in for 3 months for free, a brand new house.
Are you getting any kind of help other than the people that have helped you out?
The only help we got so far is from black churches and these nice, and not just the black churches, the white people here in Texas. I might even root for the Cowboys this year.
All right. Thanks
man,
a lot.
These people are fantastic. But, man, is the real problem?
Okay, bro. Well, anyway, thanks a lot. And just hang in there, all right? And check out as many organizations that actually resemble your community as possible, because they can actually also come to your aid quick. Thank you. We have Wendell Pierce, jazz musician who's from New Orleans. Wendell?
Yeah, how you doing, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, bro?
I wish I was a musician. I'm an actor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You may be familiar with my work. I play Bunk Moreland on The Wire on HBO.
Oh, right. Wendell, yes. I thought you played music too, but anyway, man, tell us your story, because you just got up out of there, huh?
Yes, I'm from New Orleans, born and raised, went to school with all the musicians like Wynton and Branford Marsalis and all at NOCA. Well, my family, I actually was meeting my family down there for a vacation this week and got in Saturday and realized that they were evacuating the city, and I didn't realize that the hurricane had made a turn.
Right.
So I checked into the W Hotel, you know, because we had folks, my nieces had come in from New York and the house was full. And so I told my parents when we were having dinner Saturday night, I said, wait until it's mandatory. And that next morning, the mayor made it mandatory and we started to get out. And I went back to the W Hotel, which is at the foot of Porges Street.
Right.
Across the street from the convention center.
Very familiar.
And down the street from the Superdome. And as I pack my bags with my nieces, I'm going back home out to Pontchartrain Park, which is in the Ninth Ward,
mm-hmm.
near the lake, not the lower nine, but near the lake.
Right.
I saw these people lining up on porches, and I, as if a parade was coming. Now, at that point, they said, no one in the dome except the infirmed. So they were waiting until 12 noon when they said, okay, we made the decision that, yes, we're going to open it up for last resort, and we left.
Okay, Wendell, we're going to ask.
Hurricane came, but what I wanted to get to is the fact that when people were at the convention center, the one way in and out of the city, as the last caller was saying, was to the West Bank at the foot of the Mississippi River Bridge.
Mm.
It was dry. People were available. They were completely accessible the whole time they were there. People wanted to go in and do like a Dunkirk run where we go in as civilians and bring them food and water, and we weren't allowed back into the city. People wanted to go in as civilians with boats. They had 100 boats that they turned away. Said, well, you're not trained rescuers. So they turned him away.
Wendell, we're going to come back to you in the first part of the next segment. Before we get off the air in New York, Rosa Clemente is going to make an announcement to everybody in New York, and then it goes off the air in New York, but it's still across the 71 affiliate. So we're going to come right back with you on the beginning of the next segment. That's cool?
Thank you very much.
Okay, Rosa.
Okay, so Thursday, September 8th, 2005, of course, beginning at 7 p.m. at 285 West Broadway, the Canal Room. Join Kevin Powell and his special guests as they present a benefit for New Orleans. You must be over 21. Admission is free, but you must bring an item for the truck that will be heading to Port Gibson, Mississippi, the following day. And also in Brooklyn, New York, the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, 388 Atlantic Avenue, number 718-254-8800. We'll be sending a truckload to Jackson, Mississippi. All donations, including monetary donations, are welcomed and accepted. Again, 718-254-8800, Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, 388 Atlantic Avenue. Please stop by if you're in New York. That's the 203 between Nevins and Bond.
We're going to say goodnight, WLIB. Stay tuned on the Real Second Half. We'll be talking to Wendell Pierce and Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu, who will definitely tell us about more and also relate to this subject and this crisis of time. Thank you. On the Real, Chuck D, Gia Guerrero's Down South. We have Rosa Clemente, Kill Bill, Matt I for an Eye.
I am no bear, and neither are you.
Walking through the twilight, I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone.
Yeah.
Home is where the hatred is.
That's the Phillips.
Home is filled with pain.
This is On the Real, Chuck D. Yeah.
Never went home.
That's Esther Phillips. Home is where the hatred is. Rosa Clemente, that was about, 35 years ago that record was made.
I'm not that old yet.
But the record is so relevant to so many people feeling right about now. We're here on the Real Air America Radio. That's right. You don't catch us live, catch us archived. That's right, on AmericaPlace.com. Matter of fact, you could catch the 71 affiliates across the USA. And my father just loves Randy Rhoads. And Randy Rhoads got her plastic bat whacking. Great big ups to Rachel Maddow filling in for Big Al last week, doing her thing as best she can do it. That's Rachel Maddow, who you catch every 5 o'clock. Matter of fact, catch her 5 o'clock coming up next. On Air America Radio. This is On the Real, Chuck D. Gia Guerrero is down south with family. We are joined by Sister Rosa Clemente. And Rosa, we also have Wendell Pierce on the air, who just got back from New Orleans saving aspects of his family. Wendell, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so what would you tell us about, on the West End, it was cool and he wasn't letting nobody back in?
What I wanted to really express to everyone is that those images, which I'm just seeing now for the first time, of people at the convention center being abandoned, they were completely accessible. The one way in and out of New Orleans was the Mississippi River Bridge.
Right. And that bridge was all right.
The convention center.
Okay.
And the people did exactly what they were told, and which was good advice. Go there, high ground, it's dry, and then we'll be able to get you out. And then day after day after day passed. We heard it on our storm radios,
mm-hmm.
and people wanted to go back in and give them food and water because they realized the government or nobody else was doing it. So what happened in those first 4 days was criminal. As we watched, as people died, as babies died, as the criminal element took over. And then what happened in the media was then they painted all of those people that had maybe 1% of them were acting in a criminal way and making it very, very unsafe for everybody else. They painted everybody that way.
It's business as unusual.
Excuse me?
This business as unusual.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And as they started coming out of the city, there was tension in the first days of all of the evacuee centers because people started to treat them all as criminals. You know, you finally get out of your home, neck deep water, neck high water. You go up to the convention center and you're dying of thirst and starvation. You finally get out after 4 days, after this cry, this plea from the mayor. So everyone finally starts to do something on Friday. And then you get to a shelter in Baton Rouge, and you're being greeted by cops with pump action shotguns as if you're a criminal.
Right.
And then being told, oh, finally, there's a convenience store across from the Civic Center. I want to go, but you can't go. There's a curfew because of your behavior that I saw in the media earlier this week. So, of course, people are angry, and then they should be. And what happened earlier is criminal. It's absolutely criminal. And I hope now that the spin is changing, like, ooh, everything is happening, everything is changing. Look how we're getting the food and water into the people, that we don't forget that so many people died unnecessarily in 4 days as we watched and waited and did nothing. 100 boats tried to go in, and they were turned away. You're not trained in rescue. Mm. Just like your news report just said. We have doctors coming from all over the country, and the red tape when they get to the area of making sure they're authenticated, which rightfully so. I'm sure the doctors are coming with their licenses to prove it, you know, but they get right there and they're being held back. So It's unbelievable that people in their time of need are really not getting it. And even right now, you know, it's like, I can't believe Texas is the only state in this union that has room for people.
Mm.
Seems like everybody's going to the Astrodome.
Well,
you know?
Well, thanks a lot.
Alaska should have sent a plane.
Thanks a lot, Wendell. And as a matter of fact, I like to definitely stay in lock with you. And I also thank Ricky for making sure that I hooked up with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I just hope that everybody understands that this is an opportunity for you in your communities. If you're in Chicago, go to the South Side and meet some of your poor brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
If you're in Los Angeles, go to Compton and see how the other half lives.
Because you know what? All these cities are right around the corner from something like this happening.
Well, look at New York.
Right.
I mean, all we have to do, Brother Wendell, is we're an island, you know, Manhattan, but also, you know, look in Brooklyn, look in Harlem, where houses are $1 million for people making $15,000 a year. I mean, we're one flood away from disaster in a lot of these cities right now. But
if people really care, it's an opportunity to really look around your community, teach your children, look, there are others who aren't doing as well as us, and we should do something about that. Opportunity should be afforded to everyone to access the lifestyle and the living conditions that we have and are afforded to us. And it's about giving the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Wendell. So we'll keep locked with you.
I really appreciate it, man. And everyone, please take a weekend off and come down to one of the shelters and volunteer.
Yup.
Because they want to see your face, man. They want to see your face.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right. That was actor Wendell Pierce. I think he played some music, too. Anyway, Rosa?
You know what I was thinking of, the last couple of days? I was thinking about the day that I came in from South Africa from the UN Conference on World Racism. I came in on 9/11 at 8:10 a.m. Mm-hmm. in the morning. And as I was driving over, we got those reports of the 911 tragedy. And immediately, what I remember is how everyone in the country wanted to help, and that Governor Pataki and Giuliani and the president encouraged everyone from the country, people coming from Puerto Rico, from Korea, from everywhere. Nobody stopped them.
Right.
Nobody said, where's your license? Where's your, I've never seen you drive a boat. Are you really a school teacher? And I would really, especially in New York, because the response from our elected officials has been negligent, to say the least.
Mm.
Pataki and Bloomberg today decide, now we'll send some buses. So, you know, I hope that folks do remember that during the 911 tragedy, we did not turn anybody who wanted to help away from helping New Yorkers and all those affected in that disaster.
I don't think you're going to see Mayor Nagin on Saturday Night Live anytime soon.
I hope we just see him tomorrow on CNN or something.
Or Kanye West. And we were talking about, you know, where's Kanye West after he makes his statement? I mean, Celine Dion, I know you were saying that she was on blast doing, you know, just doing her thing. But she was allowed to go on blast. But Kanye, you know, and I have to say, Kanye, welcome to the club.
No, Kanye, welcome. Welcome. We've been waiting. We didn't know that you were... You said what everybody's been thinking. George Bush does not like black people.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
You've said what black people have been saying.
Kanye for president.
Indeed. Thank you.
I'm drafting him.
As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about how rap music could further be interspersed into school curriculums. And up next, we got the stellar Dr. Juwanza Kanzufu. And we're going to ask him about his curriculum, the hip-hop street curriculum, Keeping It Real. Finally, it's here. And we're going to also ask him about, of course, the crisis at hand, or the ever-going on crisis in front of our footsteps each and every day. Welcome to America, winner in America. This is Chuck D on the Real right here, Air America Radio. That's right. Everybody was
when I found you,
not immune to the effects and the aftermath of not only the natural disaster, which, you know, you have to wonder, is it so natural? Matter of fact, the turf alone, you know, Aaron Neville told me in the airport, Bill, that number one, you can't just always think you could change the river. It's like, you know, Aaron Neville said, you know, New Orleans is a bowl, all right? That's understood. Everybody knows it now in the whole world, because everybody says now everybody is New Orleans savvy. But Aaron Neville said, you know, the people and even the rooted indigenous people in that era said, how the hell are you going to change the river? And it was like the river claimed it back. So that was from the great Aaron Neville. That music from Fats Domino, who is... thank God he's spared and got help from a Louisiana neighbor who happens to be a quarterback for LSU, I think. I could be incorrect about the school. Anyway, we're on the Real. I'm Chuck D, along with Rosa Clemente, Kill Bill, Matt Eye for an Eye, also helped out by D. Neil, and D. Neil's dad is in the house. All right. Now, we have the stellar Dr. Juwanza Kanzufu, who has the hip-hop street curriculum, Keeping It Real. Doc?
How are you, Chuck?
Good. Hello, sir. Dr. K, great to hear you. Great to be able to speak to you and also be able to get some of the spiritual vibes from you. Your hip-hop.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank you for visiting our store with your book, you know, African-American Images in Chicago.
Yes.
And we talk about this rap group. You might have heard of them, called Public Enemy, in the book.
Yeah, thank you.
We also talk about this song, Primo Mia.
Yes.
I think you had something to do with that, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, and I started a book imprint, and I was also inspired by yourself, so I got to get up with the bookstore and make these things happen. So we're in the middle of a whole bunch of things going on. Please, brother, speak your mind.
Well, you know, one of our concerns is that our children are bored to death with school. I mean, in New York and in Chicago, especially for black and Latino males, the dropout rate is between 50% and 60%. And so this book, Hip Hop Street Curriculum, Keeping It Real, is trying to connect some dots. I mean, for example, New York in particular, I'm a consultant to schools there.
Right.
And many times they tell me that black youth can't learn. And yet you and I know they can listen to Snoop or 50 Cent and literally in 3 to 5 minutes can repeat the words verbatim.
Right.
I mean, 50's latest CD, Massacre, had 22 tracks and went platinum in 4 days, and literally black and Latino youth knew almost every word on 22 tracks.
Mm.
So if they can do that, they can memorize the Constitution, 50 states, algebraic equations. But the book is a little bit more than just a book on hip-hop and rap. What we also want to do, Chuck, is that if you live in a neighborhood that has a large level of unemployment, of crack houses, drug addiction, prostitution, the whole nine yards, then shouldn't the curriculum help you to correct those problems in your neighborhood?
Mm.
So what the book attempts to also do is to look at some of those kinds of issues. It also, for example, like in terms of a writing class, we actually provide the addresses for the four companies that you and I know best,
right,
in terms of EMI, BMG, Universal, and Warner. I mean, they have 5,000 songs they could choose on any given day to play, and they choose the same 40 over
right
and over again to play, and many of them are not promoting the kinds of lyrics that our children need to hear. We provide addresses to the Justice Department so we can begin to look at why is it if you have 499 grams of cocaine, you get a slap on the wrist and a homework assignment, but 5 grams of crack is a mandatory sentence.
Ooh.
So, you know, we want to empower young people to address these issues.
Right. In your city, the same city where Kanye West has come from, and actually gets on TV and has kind of like rumbled the rap world with what he said.
Oh, yeah. And he was very real and very candid about that. And, of course, you know, NBC is trying to, you know, run a spin that, you know, we didn't know Kanye was going to say that kind of thing. But
that's precisely why he was probably there.
Exactly. And again, what we're trying to do in the book is show that there are some people out there like Kanye that are uncompromising and trying to get the message out.
I've seen in places like Brazil where there's such a barrier between English and Portuguese, especially Portuguese patois. But I saw rap records actually teach Brazilian young people over the last 10 years, teach them English where the school systems couldn't.
Exactly. And one of the things, for example, if you think we got a reading problem in New York and Chicago and nationwide, it's even worse with regards to math. But yet, what we try to do in the book is, like, for example, if 50 is selling, let's just say the first million,
right,
and let's say it sells at $18 a shot. So we ask young people, then how much did 50 make? Well, they initially think it's $18 million. Well, then we point out the distributors make 50%. So then he gets $9 million. Well, the producers get 40%. You know, now it's $1.8 million. Then he has to pay for studio and video costs. Then it's $1 million. Then you get the IRS in there. And so, you know, what we want to do is show some relationship to math to the real world. So whether it's NBA math, you know, or NFL math. I mean, it just amazes me how New York teachers say that black youth don't know math, and yet these same brothers, without pencil, paper, or calculator, are converting kilos to grams, grams to dollar bills.
Mm.
These brothers know math. What we need to do is teach them math that can empower them in their own community.
Doc, I would like you to give the audience an email address and information so how they can receive this curriculum, and we'll continue to put it on blast, sir.
It's AfricanAmericanImages.com, AfricanAmericanImages.com, or call the toll-free number 800-552-1991, 800-552-1991. If you mention Chuck D's name, then it's 30% discount on the book and free shipping if you order more than one. But you got to mention Chuck's name.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's finally here, the Hip Hop Street Curriculum, Keeping It Real by Dr. The Stella, Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And I'll continue to put it on blast. This is Chuck D on the Real, joined by Rosa Clemente filling in for G. Garrell, who's down with family. And we are keeping it on, and making sure that we keep it strong right here. So keep it locked.
sitting home alone, thinking about my past, wondering how I made it and how long it's gonna last.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, that's Irma Thomas. I'm Chuck D. Rosa Clemente, we are on the real right about now. Gotta also give a little my black history. I'm a black man living in America. Beyond African America, which Condoleezza Rice is like, well, I personally don't think African Americans are African Americans. I'm like, I kept looking at her. I'm like, woman, who are you? What are you and who you speaking for, woman?
Won't your grandparents sharecroppers
in Alabama?
While you're shopping at Bergdorf Goodman's in New York?
Oh, my God. I'm like, you know, and Condoleezza Rice, you know, it's like, this is not about color. All I saw was damn color all over the television. You ain't need a color TV to see the color on TV. All right. Condoleezza. Anyway, let me get to my black history stuff that I can't leave this show without. Julius K. Nyerere says the appearance of, and this is one of the quotes from my famous black quotation book by not so famous people sometimes, the appearance of millionaires in any society is no proof of its affluence. They can be produced by very poor countries. It is not efficiency of production which makes millionaires. It is the uneven distribution of what is produced. You just can't write a check and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to write a check to the Red Cross. We're going to fix things.
And I'll give Celine Dion more props for that one. I'm loving Celine. I know she was allowed to do what she... But one thing she did say was, what's $1 million? This is going to help for one day. What about 90 days, 120? What do I tell my son about America?
Right.
I thought that was, you know, poignant, although I agree, like Eminem,
right,
she's allowed to say what she wants to say,
right,
how long she wants to say. Kanye said George Bush don't like black people. They cut to Chris Tucker. And obviously he didn't have that teleprompter in front of him yet.
I don't understand the thing. Like, for example, it's like they cut him because he went off the script. And one of the emailers on publicenemy.com said, you know, okay, what's the script? What does the script supposed to say? You got people actually supposed to be pouring out their hearts and their spirits. Why the hell they got a script in the first place? Let me move on. My black history dedication, Louis Latimer, September 4th, 1848, engineer and inventor, born. And, you know, and also in line with Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu, who we just had on about the hip-hop street curriculum book, Keeping It Real, in line with his greatness is the great Carter G. Woodson, the father of black history, founds the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History in 1915, September 9th. And that's later on this week. Excuse me, people, I kind of forgot what day it was today. Rosa said I was into the future.
But you've always been futuristic.
We're going to try to drag the past with us and make the present better and understand the present is a gift. So we're going to appreciate the gift and make sure we all treat it right. Anyway, before we move into supernova slum, we're going to actually, you know, I just wanted to just tell you that you know, early in the show, I talked about Hoover Dam.
Yes.
Hoover Dam is like what? Like almost like a half a football field for concrete.
I was just there 2 weeks ago when I went to Nevada to visit family. I think it's bigger than that, man.
Yo, I mean
it's
thick,
huge.
But I'm just talking about the thickness, though.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So I'm just like saying, if the thickness of Hoover Dam could keep water from like ever getting to the other side and being controlled, how the hell can this country or government expect that levees built the same way they were built in 1700, whatever, to change a river, are going to hold up in any category storm?
Well,
over
it was
two
just
or three.
George Bush and his incompetent peons that cut the budget, right? They didn't heed the warning that this levee would eventually break and actually cut the funding to the state of Louisiana,
right,
to improve the levee. And it was the Army and the Corps, the
right,
Army Corps of Engineers that
right,
said, we got to fix this. Because people have to remember, it wasn't just the hurricane that hit, but the levee that broke that could have been prevented from breaking that eventually led to the flooding.
That's the point, and a help that's supposed to be around afterwards to help, you know, the people be able to survive. You know, and you got National Guardsmen all over the place, and people right here in dire need. You know, and this has been the biggest beef, in case people fail to understand the incompetence. That's why when it talks about compensation, these next 100 days are going to be some days to actually look and put in your diary. Because, hey, you know, everybody's New Orleans savvy now. Everybody's Louisiana savvy. Everybody gets it. Matter of fact, some people are speaking Creole right about now. But, Rosa, you know like I know. This city's right now on a powder keg.
Yeah.
Let Detroit get flooded.
Mm-mm.
They kind of like, you know, like if Detroit could secede over to Canada, they say, well, let us keep, you know, the car companies and let the rest of these quote unquote niggas just be part of that. Because Detroit, straight up and down, is a black city.
Yeah.
What else is on the powder keg?
Cali.
Cali's on the powder keg.
Wasn't that the number two scenario?
Hello?
Before they did those three test scenarios.
Hello?
Things that could happen.
Houston is on the powder keg right now. How about Miami?
Oh, yeah.
How about South Florida? Yo, I mean, and then there's city. How about D.C.? All right, yo. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about survival right here. We got Soup on the phone, Supernova.
Yes, family. Supernova song. Holistic weather to the Bob generation. What's up, family? What's popping? What's cracking?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Supernova?
What's up, beloved? Yeah, man. Keeping up. I want to just share with the family tonight. You know, we talk about holistic wellness to the Pop generation. One of the things that we always want to not stress, but make a point. We're not only talking about the foods that we put into ourselves to sustain our lives, but we have to realize that we have to do things to maintain our balance in critical times that we're living in. This thing that just happened in Louisiana was just, you know, it shows us what was always bubbling under the surface. And, you know, Rosa and Chuck, you know, y'all been always hitting on that for years. You know what I'm saying? Now the world's bearing witness. And one thing that comes to mind in that is, you know, when we look at America always lending help to everybody else for political reasons, for advancements, to look good in the world. Like, you know, tsunami gets hit, they go over there, want to be their friend. And then somebody in Africa gets, you know, hungry, they want to go be their friend. And now when they own people in their own land, you know, get attacked by a natural humbling disaster, they take 4 to 5 days to respond. That's the same analogy that a lot of times we do with ourselves.
All right.
Same analogy in terms of we are not taking the right steps to make sure that we check on our insides and attend to ourselves before we, you know, overextend ourselves.
Well,
I'm
going to ask you this question,
yes,
Sue. It's about survival.
Yes.
Let's say if, you know, you're in the hood and one of those families, right?
Right.
I mean, and really straight up and down, it's water all the way around.
Right.
And you're like up in your crib and the water's rising, but right. You know that you got to, like, I mean, do it in the attic or the roof or whatever.
Wow.
I mean, what maintains you, number one? How do you eat to survive? And I got a part two question to that. It's like when you're transported to like one of these domes along with 50,000 other people,
right.
How do you survive? You know, like, I mean, they got their rations, but how do you kind of like survive? Because not everybody kind of like is going to be privy to that.
Well, I say one thing. You know how in Islam they teach you the principles of fasting? And the reason why they teach the principles of fasting generally, and they teach a lot of the brothers and sisters in Islamic faith, is that when there are dire times and you have to be, it's like almost like training your body before things happen.
Uh-huh.
You got to get the discipline. So, like, say us in New York, we like, oh, well, nothing's going to happen like that to us. The humbling thing I would learn from that situation is to train my body to be disciplined, to know when, like, we're so used to eating a lot of things.
Right.
And intaking just things, period, relationships, stress, just intaking whatever. I would say we have to limit the amount of intake and take the inventory in ourselves of knowing what to put in and what not to put in at certain times. Like, one thing, when you are in a stressed-out situation, like us in New York, we're so stressed out for our family down there that we're eating late nights because, you know, we need comfort. We don't know, you know, if we can reach our family down there. Like, I personally have family down there, and I was stressed out the last few days trying to make sure everybody's okay, and I find out that everybody's beginning to be okay. But just the situation stressed me out. Myself, I had to make sure I kept, you know, my blood pressure down. I had to take Epsom salt baths. You know, you get that from the bodega. I got 2 boxes of Epsom salt, got run a hot bath water, and I soak just to calm my mind down. You know what I'm saying? So when I speak to my family long distance, I can give them, you know, a balanced support. You know what I'm saying? And just, again, if you were constantly eating all the time, and you're conditioning your body to be now controlled by these drugs masquerading as foods, when it comes time for you to detox and life stresses you to, or humbles you to not intake that, your body's going to go out of whack. Because you're so used to intaking. I think what we can learn from this situation is now when we talk about fasting from certain things and really putting whole foods in your life and taking for a blessing that you have whole foods in your life right now. There are fruits and vegetables that we have here. They don't have none of that down there.
So you're saying that it's going to be a powder keg unless they really figure out, you know, for people going to need they fix or something in the next 100 days. It's like
right.
The next 30 days.
Be, and what you're seeing right now, you see people say anarchy. You've seen people actually detoxing. They're going to withdraw. They don't have. They're not getting their fix. It's like a kip, you know, when you take sugar inside your body, processed sugar, it actually suffocates your brain. You know what I'm saying? Oxygen from your brain. So therefore, you're not really, you're off biochemically. So what happens is now you're not getting your fix. You're not getting what you normally have. Plus, psychologically, you're messed up. Your house is going, people around you are going crazy. All of that is food. You know, we're taking in food all the time.
Yeah.
And especially us here. We can't watch too much TV, radio, and internet. We have to at least take an hour to two just to fast from intaking the images. Because the images is food in our psyche. And we intaking those images, and without doing the proper fasting and ways to balance and channel that energy we intake. That's
thanks a lot, Soup. Soup, we'll be back. We'll bring you in on the next segment right in the beginning, all right?
Okay, love and light.
All right, now. On the Real, Chuck D. We'll be right back.
Young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress.
Let's try a little tenderness. That's the music of Otis Redding, picked by Kill Bill. Got the same musical taste.
But when she
thanks a lot, Matt. You know, ease it down as we talk to Supernova. So I'm out there. Quickly, Soup, you out there? All right, you know, let's say you're in the Houston Astrodome. It's like 20,000 people. You know, you're about to see these people detox in all kinds of different ways.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, what do you take? I mean, what are you going to take in, you know, beyond the rations? You can't leave.
Right.
And you got to take what they give you. I mean, and quickly, in 45 seconds, we're going
to
move it on.
In 45, what could I take to survive?
Yeah.
Water. So my body's 75 to 85% water. That's the main thing I need, water. And if they have any, like, lemon, like any little vegetable fruits, especially lemon and water, that's what I would take.
And I know
exactly how to, like, you know, be on that.
Well, Guide of Survival is going to definitely have to be handed out in pamphlet or something.
Well, you know, in these times, you know, with our family down there, you know, you take what you can have, you know. And my main point I wanted to suggest to the audience now is that, you know, we have the ability right now, not being in that situation, to really recognize our blessings,
right,
and not to take each other for granted. You know what I'm saying? And even if those communities were more holistically, socially connected with each other, you know, and like our ancient African, you know, villages always were tight-knitted, when those things happened, there were ancestral indigenous principles and things that were in place that would have been dealt with to balance off a natural disaster. We're so far connected from our original way and our ancestral indigenous way that we don't remember. And even in those times, we get so crazy because biochemically we're jacked. We don't even know how to holistically come around each other to comfort each other. You know what I'm saying? We're just all wilding out.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And there are things that our ancestors did, you know, from the Native Americans even to Africa and all throughout the planet, that every time there was any natural disaster, there's things that the village did collectively, such as prayer, such as meditation, and certain things to bond where they were able to maintain the tight, holistic knit through all outside opposition.
Well, thanks, Soup. Well,
that's
you know,
my prayer. That's my prayer to the family, man. You know, give
thank you.
You praise for your life. Take your blessings, man, and try to stay away from late night eating during this crisis that we're all going through right now, because that can only get you stressed out, and your body stressed out, and your mind stressed out. Continue the wellness, and just give thanks for your blessings, man. I give thanks for y'all in the studio.
Thank you.
And you know, we're sending prayer, love, and light to our family down there. Supernova Slum, www.supernovaslum.com, SUPANOVASLOM.com. SLOM.com. Love and life, family.
Catch you next week,
yes,
Zoo.
Yes, family. Always, man. Stay strong, fam. Peace.
Peace. We got Zoo on. Zoo.
Chuck.
All right, Zoo. Last week we talked and you barely got out of Biloxi. Is this blowing your mind, dog?
My mind got blown because I actually didn't even check into it.
Wow.
Until a certain time. Like, I got home. I left. I figured, okay, there's a storm coming. And so I began to do the work I knew I had to do for the weekend. I didn't check in until after it all happened. One thing I want to say it properly, because this being media, this should be good media.
Go ahead, dog.
A lot of what was wrong that I found was bad media. It's hard to keep up and be great at what you're doing in real time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody saw water. Somebody saw black people. Somebody said refugee.
Right.
Where do you get that from? Because it looks like Haiti to you?
Mm.
And that became a problem. That's what hurt me the most. You know why? Because I'm super spiritual in that I know God got it all in his control.
Well, our sister,
even when it looks like madness.
Our sister Condoleezza Rice says that this wasn't about color. And
no,
that African Americans, you know, are not, you know, are pretty much are not exempted of being the only ones seen and suffer the most.
America saw two different things happen this week.
Mm.
Or there were two Americas watching.
Mm. Two Americans watching, like, huh?
One America was like, hey, why don't they go get them black people?
Mm.
Another one was like, oh, my God. Wow. Hey, get the checkbook, hon. And it's true. Sad, but it's true. Don't expect somebody to do something ain't in them.
Well, Zoo, thanks a lot, man. We'll catch you next week. You know, we're running out of time. We're going to actually sign off with Rosa sending out some pertinent information as we sign on out. And you can also hear Rosa on WBAI.
Thursday nights at 8 p.m. The show is Where We Live.
Mm-hmm. And Rosa?
And for those listening, if you are near Selma, Alabama, the Selma chapter of the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement has organized 200 units of temporary and long-term housing for hurricane victims. The contact there is Cliff Albright at 334-872-7517. And lastly, if you are in Baton Rouge or want to get help to the population that has doubled in Baton Rouge, please contact Minister Andrew Muhammad, Mosque number 65. The number there is 225-923-1400. These are black organizations led by black and poor people on the ground ready to do the work.
Right, and we'd like to thank you, Rosa, of course, always stopping through and doing
you,
your thing, and we'll be together on Thursday at Kevin Powell and April Silver's fundraiser at the Coral Room.
The Canal Room.
Canal Room, right.
Yep.
And that's right. So that wraps up another On the Wheel. Chuck D, also Rosa Clemente, Kill Bill, Mr. Lathan Hodge out there on the West for hooking up Mr. Charles Sheffield. And also we had Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu and many others tonight. Wendell Pierce called in. And so we'll be back next week for On the Real. Power to the people, because the people want peace. Matt, eye for an eye, Iani, D-Neil, and D-Neil's dad for also stepping in. Thank you from the Midwest, sir. All right. Well, and until next week, Gia Garrell, be back. G, hug your family real tight, because family is really important. The building, the foundation, the community, which understands it's just the foundation of human life. But we all must be on some equal platform and some kind of pedestal, sure. Right?
That's right.
Right. And make sure your president just stops peeking out the window. Pow! Oh, nobody now. No, that's an inside rap joke. Thanks to the Goody Mob. We gone.